everyone knows that when it comes to coaching, the key indicator of success is results. More of the women in your life you really want. A hotter, more fulfilling relationship with the woman who's already in your life. Promotion in the workplace. Respect in your social circle. And even more adventurous dreams crossed off your bucket list. And when you start seeing results, that's not when you back off. That's when you mash the accelerator pedal and step up your game. Here at XY Communications, my team and I believe in walking the talk. So even though we've been changing the lives of men all over the world for over 11 years now, we've just taken everything to the next level. I'm thrilled to welcome 7 new coaches to the team, each a specialist in an area that expands both our horizons and yours. What's more, these are not new trainees. In an unprecedented move, we've gone and handpicked the best in the world at what they do, and we've hit the ground running for you. In fact, you'll recognize 4 of the new coaches as guest co-hosts on this very show. Justin Stenstrom, Claudia Cox, Susanna Matthews, Derek Loudermilk. You can meet the entire team at www.mountaintoppodcast.com/coaching. And you can hire the right coach for the right results in a one-off session, or you can build your complete plan of action utilizing the best and most talented coaches to fit your needs. Find out who's on board at www.mountaintoppodcast.com/coaching. And on that note, I want to introduce you to one of the most amazing yet down-to-earth Big Four men I know, Clovis Colley. Hang on to your seat. Here comes episode number 107.
Live from the mist-enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is XY Communications headquarters, you're listening to the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
All right, gentlemen, here we are with another episode of the Mountaintop Podcast coming at you again from sunny San Antonio, Texas. I am Scott McKay from XY Communications. Today, we're going to talk about something that we have never talked about before on this show with a kind of guest who, well, is pretty unique. His name is Clovis Colley, and he is from Omaha, Nebraska, and he's a certified hypnotherapist. And he runs his own television show up there and is a bit of a local celebrity. If you live in Omaha, Nebraska, you've probably heard his radio commercials before. He's pretty well known up there. So first order of business, welcome, Clovis.
Hey, Scott, how you doing today?
Great, man. You know, you and I talk quite often because we've known each other for several years now. You are actually a 10-plus live graduate, so you and I have actually spent several days together going out and about meeting women and gallivanting and having a great time.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. A very fond memory for me.
Well, I'm very pleased to introduce these guys to you, Clovis, because you're a man's man. You're a heck of a guy. You've had this journey of getting better with women, which is well worth noting. And nowadays you have women doing spontaneously sexy things right before your very eyes and all kinds of other cool stuff that we don't have to go into in detail because it's part of your personal life. But suffice it to say that you are well along in that journey and women love you. So what better guy to have come on board and talk about these ways that we kind of get set in our beliefs and then start believing that we really can't change when really it sometimes might be as simple as flipping a switch in your mind. Is that accurate?
Well, it absolutely can be. And, you know, beliefs are very big drivers for our behaviors. The way that we develop beliefs oftentimes is we pick up things when we're little kids, ideas. Sometimes we draw conclusions through implication. Sometimes people tell us things directly as if they're fact, and they're in no way fact. But we'll carry around these ideas and thoughts, and we will actually unconsciously restrict our own behavior because of a belief or a thought that's just not true. I have some really great ways of going in and, first of all, finding these beliefs, finding where your behavior is restricted, and then showing you how to reprogram those things very, very quickly. And when we do these things, and I have a background in master practitioner of neurolinguistic programming. And there's a notion in neurolinguistic programming that says when we teach the brain how to do something new, if we do it quickly, it works better than trying to do it over a long period of time.
Now, some of the things that you're referring to here bring to mind the whole idea of we think that the family life we grow up in is normative. Like, in other words, the way our mom and dad are towards each other is the way it's supposed to be. You know, even if we see it as dysfunctional, it's like, you know what? Everybody's like that. Or maybe certain things that are habits in our household, the way our mom and dad lead, the way we interact with our siblings, the way our siblings are towards each other. All of that is kind of ingrained in our mind as the example, kind of like in capital letters. Like, this is the shining example of the way things are. Even if we think it's messed up at the time, we grow up and think, all right, well, you know what? That's what I'm comfortable with. That's what I'm going to fall into myself. Some people are more likely to do that, fall into that trap of what they know was dysfunctional. They're more likely to do that than other people, aren't they?
Well, you know, people grow up and some people are not even quite aware enough to know that the way that they think, they feel, they view the world, they think it's that way for everybody. But as you know, as I know, and as anybody that's kind of examined their own behavior knows, everybody's very unique in their viewpoints and the way that they process things, see relationships, marriages. You know, there are guys out there that really believe that women are just the greatest thing on earth and they're there to be warm and loving and kind, whereas other people think women are here to make fun of me, to humiliate me, to tell me no, to turn me down for a date. You know, those things have great, great bearing on your results. I mean, I think that's obvious without adding much more to that. Wouldn't you agree, Scott?
Oh, 1,000%. And, you know, I'd love for you to kind of give some examples to these guys who may be able to relate very profoundly to what you just said of how this comes about. What are some of the ways that when we're kids, we start getting on that path of thinking, you know, well, women aren't all that great, compared to another kid who thinks women are terrific. They're all going to love me. What are some things that kind of get drilled into a kid's mind, or some of the things that a kid can observe at an early age that have those lasting ramifications like that?
Well, for me, I personally had a lot to overcome. I did not have the clothes, the haircut, the popularity in any way, shape, or form. And as a matter of fact, I was most of the time, I was fodder for the making fun of, for the humiliation. And, you know, I just had a very less than point of view. And it's not a good way to live in the world. So I personally have had to overcome thinking that I'm not as good as other people. And oftentimes people that are in that space, then they start overcompensating and thinking they're much better than other people. But you never get toe to toe with your human, with women, with friends. You need to exist in this world as equals with your peers, equals with the other people around you in society, to really get along well.
So is that a matter more of how you interacted socially in your early school years, or perhaps your parents overprotected you and said, oh, you know what? These other kids can ride motocross at age 5, but man, if we ever got you a motorcycle, you'd hurt yourself. Or is it some kind of combination of all those sorts of things, or maybe something off the board that I haven't even thought of yet?
No, it absolutely was. My dad absolutely prohibited me from taking risk of any kind and was very overprotective. At the same time, I didn't quite have the social skills to be in the popular circle, and I was quite the opposite in the unpopular circle, the nerd circle, if you will. And so I've really had to spend most of my adult life building in skill sets to purposely work on being charismatic, good communication skills. You know, I've developed my voice so that I have a good radio voice and that I'm able to talk to people and they're comfortable with me. You can't do that when you think somebody's going to humiliate you or somebody's going to bully you on the playground. I had to go in and reprogram those things, those ideas, reassess them from a point of now that gave me power in the now to really act on the world in the way that it is. I'm not on the playground anymore. Nobody's going to come up behind me and shove me and make my books go flying all over the place. Those things just aren't true anymore. So a lot of what I do is really help people update and understand the world that they live in now and stop driving their car with a rearview mirror.
Yeah, you and I have definitely occupied some common ground there in the past. My parents were very overprotective, and what it caused me to think was, well, you know, I'm not as good as some of these other kids. They get to do things I don't because they're more capable than I am. And of course, my parents meant well, just like yours did. They're trying to keep us out of trouble and keep us from getting hurt. But you know what? Psychologically, it wasn't so beneficial in the long run in helping our confidence and our drive and our ambitions as a kid. Now, for me, I was the oldest sibling of three. And how that negatively affected my social skill was I didn't have anybody to model for me how kids are supposed to act with other kids. I had to go kind of hum a few bars and play it by ear as soon as I hit kindergarten. And also, like me, Clovis, you're also a rather intelligent guy. So I was also the one whose mom doted over him and taught him how to read when he was three. So by the time I got to kindergarten, I was wanting to teach the class instead of being part of the class. And I didn't understand why that was going to be a social problem for other kids and even my teacher. So, yeah, I mean, if you don't have the right example from other kids and you're having certain influences given to you by your parents and your parents are your only influences at that early tender age, man, things can go sideways socially pretty damn quick, can't they?
Well, they absolutely can. And I think you hit on a good point. I think a lot of the guys that you speak to, that I speak to, are very intelligent people. They're intelligent enough to reach out and ask for some help, to get good instruction, to learn good technique. But as you know, sometimes society lacks character and a lot of people can be a little bit on the dull side and not have much interest in intelligence. Here, you show up, you know some things, you say some things, and you get the exact opposite effect that you think you would. You kind of get harassed for being ahead of the curve, and you can feel very pushed out by being ahead of the curve.
One of the things that comes to mind based on what you just talked about is that there's also now a media-driven dimension that's more profound and more pronounced than it ever has been. I mean, you've got social media, you've got every cable station, you've got blogs, you've got an internet full of different opinions from different people of all walks of life. So these same guys who've grown up to think that women aren't so wonderful, and then that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy socially. In other words, they start talking to women, and because they're angry at women, the women are angry right back at them. They start developing these limiting beliefs that women are really against them, et cetera, et cetera. Then they get on the internet and they find a lot of third wave feminism, a lot of angry women who are grabbing the mic, and the squeaky wheel gets the grease, of course. Then the next thing you know, they become more enraptured by what's going on with angry women. They want to support their own limiting beliefs in some sort of, I don't know, it's kind of a twisted way if you ask me, but we all do it, you know, no matter what it is that we're trying to support. Whatever it is we're trying to make an excuse for, we love finding reasons to continue believing what's killing us. And indeed, a lot of these guys, I'm thinking of the men going their own way crowd specifically, go out and they find examples of angry women saying, you know, I'm a college professor and I refuse to have any boys in my class anymore. And, you know, we should cull the population of men to 10% and the world would be a better place. And they're like, see, this is the way women are. Women can't stand us. And they're, you know, proof texting their way to really bolstering that negative belief system. If something isn't working for us, like, for example, the men going their own way, say they're going their own way from women because women just don't work for them. Why do we spend so much time still thinking about that, which we say we'd like to move away from, either literally or figuratively? What's going on in our heads, Clovis?
Boy, we can really do a good job of spiraling down the tubes by proving our erroneous beliefs. We will sort for information that proves to us that our beliefs are right. And as a matter of fact, we can kind of only see the information that matches our inner belief systems. We will delete examples of really nice women if we have this belief system that women are bad, that women are hard to get along with, that they don't like us. We will go out and find that and prove that to ourselves. But the flip side of that is if you start developing good belief systems, you believe women are kind, there are really sweet gals out there to deal with, you will start to find that. And the saying that sticks in my mind, and it comes from a really old book, you know, probably 50 years old, it says, whatever you think about grows.
Indeed. And what I've noticed is when I share my story of having come back from a rather difficult first marriage, and that's an understatement, to still think very favorably of women and then to have the kind of marriage that I have today, and you have seen Emily and I in action, and you know perhaps as well as anybody I've ever coached that Emily and I were the real deal. We really adore each other. Some people, it seems, to have that opposite limiting belief that you can't be happy with a woman, that she will eventually hurt you and break you and take all your money and take the kids and ruin your life. They need for me to be wrong. I mean, the schadenfreude is so thick you can cut it with a knife. It's like, yeah, you talk to me in 2 years when she's left you. It's like there cannot be an example of something that works where they so desperately want to prove it doesn't. In other words, I've had guys go on rants on my blog to the tune of, yeah, I bet your children aren't even yours. And it's like anybody who's ever met any of my kids is going to know immediately they have to be from my gene pool. Trust me. Okay. There's no denying that. But I mean, the stories and the fantasies about how my life personally is going to crumble from these guys who need me to fail reminds me of what's been said recently, especially about the political left and the political right here in the United States battling each other, is that when someone is suffering from legitimate cognitive dissonance, what they do is they vilify the other side and take the other side to an extreme negative as much as they possibly can, almost so they can build a wall up against being found out. You know what I mean?
I do. I do. And I have to say, you know, coming down there, spending time with you, meeting Emily changed my view of the world.
Well, she changed my view of the world, too. Did it all in one morning. Oh, yeah.
Right. She gave me a lot of positivity. And I actually came home after our 10 plus weekend and met somebody that really had a similar personality. Very warm, very bubbly. So it changed my beliefs. That's what we call an environmental change, seeing something on the outside and then reassessing a belief from the inside because you have proof from the outside. And since meeting Emily and hanging out with you, I've met a lot more women that have that very, very sweet disposition like Emily does.
So I guess based on everything we've talked about, to really kind of drill down on the point of this conversation, what is the deal with us? And, you know, I've been guilty of this too. I'm raising my hand. You have something that's hurting you. You have something that you're angry about, even frustrated about, something that you just can't stand, that you wish wasn't the way you perceive it to be. And here you have this light at the end of the tunnel. Here you have this glimmer of hope that, you know what? Maybe it doesn't have to be this way. Maybe I don't have to be in this pain anymore. And instead of walking through that tunnel and into the light and giving it the benefit of the doubt, you tree hug your limiting beliefs. It's like I'm more afraid of the change than I am of continuing on in the rest of my life doing what I'm doing. Is this really about a belief that I can't do something or that I'm scared that maybe it won't be what I perceive it to be once I've gone to the trouble to make the change? Or is it something else?
Well, look, the first thing that I do when I start working with people is I address what I call their improvement limiting behaviors. Or in psychotherapy, they call it therapy limiting behaviors.
That sounds exactly like what I'm talking about.
And I address those things and get those out of the way. Get people comfortable with change because you change anyway. You never stop changing. It's only an illusion that you don't. We want to channel that change and help you get what you want instead of, you know, mulling around in something that doesn't work. And I did it for a long time, just like you did with an ex-wife. I finally had to forgive her and get over it. And once I did that, it really freed up my consciousness. And I actually really started projecting a much different energy. I believe that we overlay and we get from other people what we expect out of them. And if we expect kindness, we foster it out of them. And if we expect meanness, we kind of have a way of drawing that out from them. So I believe if you really want to be good at this dating game, you need to really clean your act up, so to speak. Have positive expectations. Refine and clean up your own painful memories, limiting beliefs. And all that can be done fairly easily, Scott. There's no reason not to do it.
I think some people are just afraid of something different, or they're just flat out stubborn because of arrogance?
Well, it can be both ways, but I like to make people scared of staying the same.
Now, there you go. Let's hear more about that. What do you do to foster that?
Well, I just help people get in touch with the pain that they're going to experience if they keep doing the same useless things over and over again.
Well, don't you think they know that already, though? I mean, you know, you're going through this life. Let's say you've sworn off women because they're all lying, cheating, stealing whores, okay? And yet you're lonely and you don't have any women and you know you're not going to procreate. You're not going to have a son or a daughter and you're going to die alone. You know all these things, yet you are not going to deviate from top dead center. You're not going to let anybody, even with real logic, show you that there can be a different way. What is it that keeps people digging that hole deeper for themselves?
Well, look, first of all, if somebody's doing that and they want to hang on to that, they're absolutely entitled to their own misery. I embrace people that are coachable. I embrace people that want something better. Now, if somebody honestly wants to change, but they're stuck and they don't know how, that's one thing. I'll help them through that. But if they just want to be miserable and complain, they are more than welcome to that, Scott. And I don't appreciate it very much. I don't have very much admiration for it. But you know as well as I do, Scott, some people are coachable and some people just are not.
Absolutely. You know, I love how plain spoken you are about this, which is one of the key reasons why you and I get along so well and one of the reasons we probably met to begin with. However, that said, you know, some people don't like women. They just want to get angry. They want to stay angry. Some people call me up and ask me about coaching with me, and really, they just want to argue with me. And I don't see that as a situation that's going to bring about anything positive that gets them results, whether they want those results for real or whether they're just saying they do. I have 100% track record of success over 11 years with people I coach. And yes, I do a great job at what I do, but I think equally significant, along with whatever skill set I possess at coaching people, is the fact that I only coach people who actually adore the people they're trying to attract and who, of course, are of sound mind. If someone isn't in my reality with me, if we're not, you know, tracking along that same path together, they're under the care of a psychiatrist, for example, then, you know, of course, I can't expect to be able to predict results for them or even what it's going to look like to work with them. So yeah, those two factors right there, soundness of mind and respect and admiration for the people you're trying to attract. And that's with men and women we coach, by the way. Those really are the two X factors and really the only two. I can work with anybody else in any situation you can think of, even some preposterous ones.
Well, absolutely. And why you would get into this thing, why somebody would enlist your help, enlist my help, but want to remain resentful towards women is beyond me. But I think women are really, really cool. there's just something about them that I really, really like.
Yeah.
And I like to hear them, and I like the way that they smell good, and I like the way that they're sweet. And one of the things that you taught me is, you know, I'll go into a place and I'll talk to a 75-year-old woman, and I can find as much to appreciate her and connect with her and talk to her and find out about her. And that behavior that I do, I mean, it just comes out in every other area of my life. And when I treat people well, I get treated well.
Interesting that you should say that, because I tell guys all the time, women are watching how you treat other women. And whatever your habit is with regard to how you treat women, it's going to be authentic. That's going to be who you really are. So when guys come to me and go, yeah, you know, well, I can't get the women I'm really attracted to like me. Well, that's because he's not paying any attention to any other women. You know, my famous example is he'll hold the door for a pretty woman and then let it slam on the grandma behind her. I mean, that's no way to be. And women really do get resentful when they see men who only treat women who they potentially can get something from, you know, something sexually or whatever it is women perceive we're trying to get from women other than them. Whenever they see that, you know, they just get that vibe of, hey, you know what, this guy is not the kind of guy who's going to make you feel safe and comfortable. He's not a provider. He's not a protector in all the good ways that I always talk about. And then they're just not feeling it. And it's because of that inconsistency. Meanwhile, if you're a guy who genuinely appreciates women, all those women are watching. The woman you are sexually attracted to watches how you treat that grandma or that woman who perhaps isn't as sexually attracted to you, even your own sister or your nieces. And she'll go, hey, you know what? That's a real man. That's a guy who knows how to appreciate a woman. So when you habitually go right into treating a woman you are sexually attracted to, just like you would any other woman, you get incredible results. And other guys around you are like, how does this guy do that? Well, it's all by virtue of that authentic notion of giving women safety and security and actually showing women consistently that you actually appreciate and adore women and are respectful towards women. And then you get the women who are respectful towards men. Because I'll tell you something straight up. When you're a man who actually likes and respects women, you represent that challenge to the cognitive dissonance in women who hate men. You see? So they're pissed off by you and your very existence, because if you don't do anything that's hateable, if you don't do anything that they can really latch onto and say, see, he's just another one of them, you know what those women do? They avoid you. Boom. Mic drop. Then all of a sudden, that's when and why you start attracting much friendlier, easier going, dare I say, less broken women who actually are there to adore you and do nice things for you. Optimistic, generous people get together. They're all about treating each other right. And then you have that happy relationship that the man bashers and the MGTOWs want to work so hard to have us believe can't possibly exist, even though we're experiencing it.
It does exist.
You bet.
To back up what you said, you know, if you're going to be a good guy, if you're only a good guy to a few people, you're not a good guy. And people see that as disingenuous. And women see that kind of activity and they think, when is that guy going to do that to me? When is he going to turn his back on me? When's he going to let the door slam in my face?
And given how women are so driven by how a man can make them feel safe and secure or otherwise, that just became an even bigger, more significant point. Bravo.
Absolutely. You're going to get back what you put out. You absolutely are. But I want to assure guys out there, there are some really cool things that can happen with women. And there are such things as great relationships. I have had one since I have been coached by you, and it's amazing.
Oh, yeah, sure. So what would you tell these guys? What do they need to do if they want to move from perhaps a situation where they're sabotaging their own success with women to, first of all, Clovis, changing their mindset to say, you know what, I do deserve a great relationship with a great woman, and I'm going to do what it takes to be that guy, and then getting them on that track and letting them see some success. How do you work with guys in that regard?
Specifically, the way that I'm going to do that is I have some tools that are whole brain exercises that install beliefs very deeply. Get rid of erroneous beliefs and install useful beliefs. I deserve to be treated well. And when you believe that at the core of your being, you really start to attract different things in the world. And I have a way of doing that pretty quickly. I have a way of scanning the beliefs, installing beliefs, and by virtue of being coached by you and being on this path myself, I know the beliefs that kind of need to be there to make this work. And I can quickly rebuild a guy so he's got a good, firm foundation to come from. I can help him develop his charisma, his unconscious rapport. And let me take a little sidetrack on the unconscious rapport. Nothing is more misunderstood in this field that I'm in than what rapport is. And it is not bowling trophy rapport, talking about their bowling trophy or their shoes. It's something that's very powerful that happens at an unconscious level. And I can teach guys how to do that. It's a process that you get into. And when you meet somebody and you know how to get unconscious rapport, you're occupying a good space. You're feeling good within yourself. Your beliefs are lined up saying that, yes, I can meet a nice woman. I expect women to be nice to me. I feel like I'm a good guy. And on top of it, you're getting that unconscious rapport. It is an amazing place to come from.
Can you give us an example of an exercise you might go through with guys?
I have a way of doing this over Skype or in person where we do these postural exercises that fire off both hemispheres of the brain. First of all, I'll do a pre-interview and I'll find out what the guy's viewpoints are, where he's getting hung up. And I know how to suss out the beliefs. I'll help him design statements. I deserve a good woman. I deserve to be in a good relationship, whatever it may be. Then we actually get into these postures do the posture, build in the belief through physical movement. And at the end of that, that is true for them. They have a sudden shift in their psyche when it comes to relating. And the thing is true for them. Whatever we have built in is now true. Of course, he goes out into the world and then it starts to be reflected back to him and he gets some feedback and some experience of having this new way of living, thinking installed. The one thing that I have to say about it is most people are not used to making powerful changes in a matter of 3, 4, 5 minutes. And I need to get them used to that because that's what I do.
And of course, you're very skilled at getting people to quit smoking, health and fitness things, getting over relationships, even having different and improved beliefs about their career path. All of those things you specialize in, which is fascinating and really powerful to me.
Well, absolutely. I have guys that come in that have been pining away for somebody for 2 years, stuck, heart thumping, head hung low, tail down between the legs. And within a matter of a few minutes, we can clean that up, get that emotional pain out of it, and get him moving forward into a place where he can start to have the love life that he wants.
Now, to bring this conversation full circle, I announced to these guys at the beginning of this show that I had actually added 7 new professional world-class coaches to the team here at X&Y Communications. And drum roll, you're one of them. And I couldn't be more thrilled, Clovis, because, you know, you are famous in your hometown. You have a thriving practice where you help people, men and women, all the time. And to bring your kind of expertise in hypnotherapy to be a part of this team and knowing the powerful results you get with guys in an extremely brief period of time makes me really, really pleased to let these guys know that they can actually hire you right here and right now by going to mountaintoppodcast.com/coaching. You can sign up for a session and get started and start seeing some of the breakthroughs you're talking about or similar ones right away. I think what the big question guys are going to have about that, Clovis, is, well, what if I'm not in Omaha, Nebraska? What if we're doing this over Skype? Is it still going to be effective?
I make it very effective on Skype. And, you know, I've been doing hypnosis since I've been 12 years old. I'm 47 years old now. I have a lot of experience underneath my belt. I get people on Skype and I get deep trance phenomena on the other end of the Skype line. I had a gal, she had a problem where she was uncontrollably blushing when she was public speaking. And I induced that. I got her to blush unconsciously through Skype. We are slightly limited, but believe me, I can get the job done in a really, really satisfactory fashion over Skype. It's fast, it's easy. And I tell you what, I just very rarely ever work with anybody for an hour where they don't go, oh my gosh, I feel different. I feel like life is different for me. I get something for everyone.
And of course, you know, as guys have probably already figured out, it's not like you're going to wave a watch in front of them and say, you're getting very sleepy and you're not like one of these stage performers who makes people bark like a dog. You're about helping people get the mindset to flip switches in their mind and to reframe their thoughts so that they can see things differently and start getting the results that they want. That's really what it's about, right?
Well, it is. And it's such a natural process. You go through the hypnopompic and hypnagogic states on your way in and out of sleep. It's nothing unusual. And from that space of relaxation, it's very, very easy to remold your thinking. And as you say, see things differently, feel things differently, hear things differently, and just draw different assessments about the world. One of the things that I do that I haven't mentioned yet is people have many, many skill sets that they tend to compartmentalize in one area of their life. I'm in sales over here. I have my family over here. I have my buddies over here. And they'll only do one skill set at the sales job that they could bring over here into their family life, into their buddy life, into their sports life, into their nutritional life. And I like to help people get more access to all their skill sets across more context and really help them dig into their own talent.
Yeah. And I've also heard you talk about kind of the converse of that, which is, you know, I have a skill set that I'm only using in one very limited area that could be broadened out to create so much more success in my life. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah. Good stuff. Guys, if you want to learn more about Clovis, go to www.mountaintoppodcast.com, where you will see a picture of Clovis and be able to order up an hour with him. He's also prominently featured on mountaintoppodcast.com/coaching with the other six new coaches, plus Emily and I. And guys, we can form complete plans of action for you featuring me and Clovis and perhaps other coaches, if you would like for them to be on board also, to get you the exact fine-tuned results that you want. And that's about the only coaching program in the world that's designed like that. And that's based on having spoken to a lot of you and hearing what your wish lists were for us. So excited to be able to bring that to you. Again, go to www.mountaintoppodcast.com/coaching for all the details. Clovis, thank you so much today for a great conversation. This has been deep and intelligent, and those are always among my favorite shows. And welcome on board, man, most of all.
Well, I'm very excited. What a great group of people to be involved with. And I think you've set up one of the neatest things in this dating world that anybody has set up. What a great resource.
Yeah. And I think a lot of guys are going to start seeing the breakthroughs and the massive results with women and in their careers and even their social lives like they've always dreamed of. And we're going to have more guys doing that than ever before. Guys, if you're not signed up for my newsletter list yet, that's absolutely positively the place to start. You can do that also at www.mountaintoppodcast.com. It's absolutely free, and I will send you actionable advice every day that's going to help you get better with women and be a better man. Until I talk to you again on the next episode, this is Scott McKay from X and Y Communications. Be good out there.
Mountaintop Podcast is copyright 2016 by X and Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com for show notes. And while you're there, sign up for the X and Y Communications newsletter. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Mountaintop Podcast.